Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Ready to be healthy? How many of you are ready to grow? Today I'm going to teach you another one on how to live healthy, and you've got to learn how to overcome. It would have been a good time for somebody to say amen. A lot of times you don't overcome things because you don't know how. Oh, come on now. I know some of y'all do it. When you don't know something, you go to YouTube and watch a video and you learn. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. You know you did it. Come on. You know you all did it. But see, in the Word of God, it's better than YouTube. And a lot of times is we don't have somebody who'll break the Word down so we can grow. So today, can I take my time? Are you ready to change? Are you ready to learn how to overcome? See, I got to teach you how to overcome, because in life, you can be a lot of different things, but if you don't know how to overcome, then you really don't know how to fully be what God called you to be. So today, I want you to grab your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4. And when you get there, I want you to say amen, because in your life, many of us like to play musical chairs. One minute, we're happy. The next minute, we're depressed. No, y'all ain't going to help me. You realize all it is a shift in the seat. And then, whenever you get out of depression, then you get into a place where you're blessed. But see, we got to realize is that there's areas in our life we have to learn to overcome. See, you got to get from here to here. You don't want to dwell in a place that God didn't call you to dwell. See, I want to help a lot of the church today, because many of us are settled or settling in areas where we've let the enemy defeat us over and over again, and we've bought the lie that this is our seat. This is not your seat, and I got to show you that in the Word of God today. Is that okay? Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 2? For God, who is rich in mercy, everybody say mercy. In other words, He's there and able to do it when you can't. How many of y'all in here are in a place where you can't do it? Come on, lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy's kicking in. Oh, y'all ain't helping me right now. This is where the step of mercy comes in. Watch this. For who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us. In other words, let's settle something real quick. How many of you realize you're loved? I ain't talking about your spouse. I ain't talking about your kids. I'm talking about, do you understand God loves you? Say it. God loves me. Say it louder. God loves me. Some of us have the hardest time just saying, He loves me. Go to verse 5 real quick, because I got to show you this. Watch this. Even when we were dead in our sins, He quickened us together with Christ, and by grace you've been saved. Do you understand? He loved you so much, He said, I got to get Him back. Can you understand something? God sent His Son just for you. He knew what you was in. He knew what you were doing. He knows what you've done yesterday, today, and what you're going to do later on today. Hello. Hello. You know some of y'all going to get in the car, somebody going to cut you off, and you're going to fuss at them. You know your spouse is going to say something, get under your skin. Okay, you already know it. You listen, welcome to the world we live in, because you think peace is just supposed to be a bed of roses. I'm about to preach on peace like you've never heard it before. Go to verse 6. Go to verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in what? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I tried to preach on this one time, and then the Lord brought me back to it again because we didn't get it. How many of you realize sometimes I got to preach something close to it or back again because we missed it? So watch this. God sent Jesus to raise us all up together. Who are we together with? Have you arrived yet? Are you a perfect saint? No, okay. I just want to make sure. Are you perfect? Are you perfect? Are you perfect? No, what are we doing? We're coming up. Look at somebody and say, we're coming up. And guess who's in front of us? Jesus. Okay? Follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? Watch this. Now look, who hath raised us up together and made us to sit. Now, I need some help here. So, Jeremiah, where are you at? Where's Jeremiah? Come here, son. Where's Tyrone? You know what? Let's just do father and son. Give me Ty and Tyrone. Y'all come up here. You heard what he said. It's not fair. I'm the shortest one. Okay. Now, in your life, we got to realize that life is like musical chairs. When the music plays, you move. So let's just, you don't want me to sing, so y'all just move around these chairs. Go ahead. You just lead it. Y'all so backwards. Look at y'all. So in life, you're going round and round in circles. You're trying to figure this thing out, and the music of life is playing, and then you realize that something happens and something goes missing. And your circle shrinks. And then about the time, the Lord goes, it's time to stop the music. And when the music stops, you going to let him get in that seat? No, you going to let him get in that seat? Because your life, are you bigger than him? Move him. Because there's things in our lives that are bigger than we are. Things that push us out of our seat. No, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. See, I got to get you to understand. We're called to be overcomers, but yet we allow things that are bigger than us to push us out of our seat. We allow stress to come in and financial worry. And we let turmoil come in the family. And we begin to let all of these things come in. And they're truthfully bigger than you are. No, come on, somebody got to help me. Look at me. When things come, they're bigger than you are, because if you can handle it, you would have done handled it. But see, we got to realize that in life, there is something that we're missing. So when the music plays, life stands back up again, and then all of a sudden, the circle gets even smaller. Because what I got to get you to understand is this. It's not the devil causing your circle to get smaller. It's God trying to get you to realize your circle's getting smaller. In other words, the Lord's saying, I'm going to get you to the place where you got to deal with it. No, y'all don't want to hear me. Let me come up here. Look at me. You got to understand, we're blaming the devil for something God's trying to get us to realize. Why am I going through this? Why am I battling this? Can I just help you? In life, it just keeps going round and round just like they are. And it keeps going and it keeps going. And you wonder why things are falling off. And you wonder why things are going different. You wonder why all of a sudden you're facing something you've never faced before. Some of y'all in here should shout, because whenever you start getting attacked in different ways, it means that you're not in the level you used to be. Paul said you better count it all joy when it comes. Y'all got to hear me. Watch this. You got to count it all joy. So whenever it comes, you got to realize you're not in the level you used to be. See, in that level, you're used to the attacks. You're used to that. You got comfortable. But what happens is the Spirit of God got a hold of you, and he got right in the middle of your mix. And what you begin to realize is that when the music gets ready to stop and the music stops, then at that moment, something has to go. Oh, and you were out in the first round, so you didn't even make the first cut. But see, there's something in the scripture we miss. There's something in the scripture that you never caught before. It says that he raised us up together and made us to sit. Now, here's what you got to understand. Who put me in that seat? Jesus put me in that seat. So watch this. You have to understand, he made us to sit. Now, can I ask you a question? Does that seat belong to you? It does? Is your name on it? Stand up. Whose name is on that chair? So in other words, when the tests come, the trials come, the attacks come, the sickness comes, when it comes and tries to take your seat, you have to understand there's somebody who put your name on the seat. And he's the one that made the seat and made for you to sit with him in heavenly places. And you have to understand, there is no sickness in heaven. There's no weeping in heaven. No, y'all got to hear me. There is no attacks of the enemy in heaven. So then Jesus steps in and casts it out and then comes back to you and he goes, "My son, take your rightful place. Because I have made you to sit with me in heavenly places. I didn't cause your turmoil. I didn't cause your situation. I didn't cause your circumstance. I called you by name." If you want to know the truth, the Word of God says that God engraves your name in the palm of his hand. So what God does is look at his hand and say, "Hey, son, get Jeremiah a seat." Y'all missed it. There's a roll call in heaven and your name's written on God's hand. Woo! You got to realize right now, every time God moves his hand, he looks at your name. Every time that his hand moves, every time he looks over, he sees your name. And he looks over at his son, he said, "Did you give him my seat? Did you give him the seat? Did you tell him to pull up to my table? Did you tell him to realize that, first of all, they may be on this earth, but I still called them to sit with me?" Do you understand? You got a RSVP. You have a reserved seat of authority and a power. No, y'all got to hear me, saints of God. Watch this. You have a seat with your name on it, and nobody can take you out of it but you. He's made you to sit with him in heavenly places. So what happens is he just... So in other words, you want to mess with my boy? You want to mess with my boy? See, some of you have to understand, you've let the wrong thing in the seat beside you. Some of you have settled for your seat in heavenly places to live in the lifestyle. And you better believe you're going to serve one or the other. So who's sitting beside you? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to realize that right here, that I'm going to sit with him in heavenly places, but I'm going to go ahead and start right now. I'm going to go ahead and realize that as a child of God, I have a place. Are y'all getting this? Can I take you a little bit deeper? Thank you, son. Take your seat with you if you want it. Your name's on it. Because isn't it just like us? Well, pastor, preach it. We got a seat. But yet you leave it right here in church. And you wonder why when you come back on Tuesday night, your seat's still there. It's still got the anointing. It's still got, no, y'all ain't going to help me. Okay, let me just move that chair over, because what happens is you don't take it with you. So when you don't take it with you, something else will fill it. Are y'all understanding? To overcome, you got to realize that your name and where God's placed you and take it with you. I dare you to reach your hand out and just act like you're taking it. Just. No, how many of you are sick and tired of having it snatched out of your hands? Why don't you reach out and take it? Anybody ever had something snatched from you? This is yes. This is yes. Anybody ever had to take something back? Oh. Can I keep moving? We don't have a lot of time. Can you handle some more? Y'all ready for some more? I want you to take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. I'm going to move quick because you got to realize that what God's getting ready to do is I got to move real fast, because you got to understand this. It says this, "For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world." Look at somebody and say, "You're an overcomer." Poke somebody and say, "Hey, overcomer." Come on, poke them and just say, "Yeah, you." Come on, see, some of y'all in here, y'all just feel like you already beaten, you already done, and you ain't worth nothing. The truth is, you're an overcomer. 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 No, see, some of y'all need to realize you're an overcomer. Come on, you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. No. When's the last time you just called somebody and just said you're an overcomer? No, I want to have some people that's going to walk up to me and go, "You know what? You an overcomer. Overcomer. My God, how much you've overcome. You have no idea." You'll find out she got a youth service coming. She's going to cut it loose. No, you got to understand you're an overcomer. How many of you has asked God into your heart? You've asked Jesus into your heart. If you've asked Him into your heart, you're a what? Jesus said, "Don't worry about them. Don't worry about what's going on. I've already overcome the world. So do you really belong to me or not?" Quit looking in the mirror going, "Well, it's going to take me out today." No. Look in the mirror and go, "I'm an overcomer." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Some of y'all got to take a hold of that thing. Wake up every morning. Wake up every morning. No, y'all ain't helping me at all. No, wake up every morning and go, "I am. I am. I am." No, I'm not psyching myself out. The Word says it, and God looks over His Word to complete it, and He's a God that He cannot lie. If He says that because I've asked Jesus into my heart, then I'm an overcomer, Miss Dot. I can lay down things that used to get a hold of me. Golly, bum, my God. You can overcome. No, guys, listen to me. You can overcome it. It. Whatever it may be in your life, you can overcome it. Is it depression? Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hello? Hello? If it's finances, I got a God who owns a cattle on a thousand hill. All I got to do is call Him up. Call Him up. Tell Him what you want. No. See, what you forgot is that you've got a father who's told his son, "Get them a seat." You can't come to the table unless you have an inheritance. You're children of destiny. God, man, Lord, I hope y'all get this. You're a child of destiny. Being a child of God means you're a child of destiny. It means you're given an invitation to sit at the table with an almighty God who loves you, Miss Dot, no matter what's going on, no matter how you failed, no matter what you're going to do, the good or the bad, He still loves you, and you got an inheritance, and you are invited. Oh. Church people today walk around and they're so unhealthy because they don't know. People look at you and go, "You're a Christian?" Because what's on the inside of you, you haven't grabbed a hold of. Greater is he that is in me. Guys, I could preach that for a year and just hope that you would get it, because what you don't understand is that when the greater one comes, he's already overcome everything. So you're already entitled to be an You're already entitled to be an overcomer. I can speak to my back. I can speak to my belly. I can speak to migraines. I can speak to arthritis. No, y'all ain't going to help me. Gout, I don't care what it is. I can step back and go, by his stripes, he said I was healed, and greater is he that is in me. He overcame all that for me. So now, body, you got to line up. Cancer, you got to go. Cancer, you got to go. Doctor's report said it's in your blood. They do the test and can't find no cancer. What just happened is somebody got a revelation of who they are, and they sat in the right seat with their name on it beside the one who said, I'm raising you up. And then cancer had to bow out. My God, have mercy. Y'all about to make me preach. Go to Revelation 3. Go to Revelation 3. Yes, I'm bouncing you all over your Bible because I need you to see it's not just in one place. Revelation chapter 3. Y'all making me preach hard. About to take it to another gear. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. When you get it, just say amen. To him that overcometh will I grant... To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jeremiah, come here. You don't have to bring your seat this time. And I ain't Santa Claus. Sit right there, man of God. Looks just like my son. To him that overcometh, I'll grant him to sit with me. Do you understand that when you're sitting with him, you can look him in the face and say, you know, this is where I am. And he goes, I got you. Do you realize when you sit with him, he's close to where you are? He's feeling what you feel. No, he said he feels your infirmities. How can he feel your infirmities if you're not sitting with? To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne. In my throne. No, not beside me, in my throne. No, y'all missed that. I'm inviting you to sit up here with me, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father. Thank you. How many of you want to be an overcomer? No, how many of you want to be an overcomer? No, I didn't say, let me rephrase that. How many of you don't want to be an overcomer? You are an overcomer. No, yeah, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. The Holy Spirit just said, don't tell them I want to be. Tell them who they are. Come on, how many of you are overcomers? How many of you are realized to be healthy in your life? You got to grab a hold of this, and you got to get it in your spirit. You got to engrave it on your mind. You better write it on the tablets of your heart. And some of y'all better even write it in your hand. I'm an overcomer. Do you understand? You got an open invitation. You got an open invitation. Can I just keep moving? Because you guys are still looking at me strange. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Jeremiah, come here. Bring a chair. Sit it right there. We're made to sit with him in heavenly places. Have a seat. Your chair. your chair right. Okay. There will always be, No, y'all got to hear me. There will always be something from the enemy that will try to remove you from the seat. But when you submit yourself to God, where are you sitting? You're not even in the realm. Oh, guys, y'all got to hear me. Watch this. You're not even in the realm where the enemy has authority to remove you from your seat. You're in a place where Christ has put your name on there with authority and says, it's yours. And as long as I stay submitted to God and I stay close to Him, no matter how the enemy tries to push me out of my seat, all I got to do is resist Him. Oh, you're going to just let me push on you and try to get you out of your seat? Is that how it is? Are you just going to let me do it? Are you going to push back? Are you going to resist? Is there any resist in you? Is there any resist in you? Come on. When do we get? Oh, you notice after a while you get tired of the enemy pushing on you and trying to get you out of your seat. And he'll come and do anything that he can. See, what happens is in the body of Christ, you ain't got no fight. The enemy comes and you just accept it. You just accept it. Can I buy your seat? Will money do it? Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I get you the finest clothes. Nicest car. He's starting to come back, isn't he? Starting to come back, isn't he? See, here's the problem is that in the body of Christ, we all want to sit back and expect God to do everything, but if you do that, then the Word doesn't come alive. The Word of God says, if I submit myself to God and I resist it, I really want that seat. Because you know what the devil, you know why the devil can't stand you? It's because he don't have a seat. And he wants to settle to steal yours. And whenever you're not looking, he just wants to snatch it right out from under you. And he just wants to try to push you out of it. And he just wants to crowd you in. And he wants to stress you out. And he wants to get it to where you'll surrender that seat. But when you resist the devil, when you resist him, and you begin to push back. See, what you got to understand is there's many times that all you got to do is pray a little bit. All you got to do is just call out a little bit. See, because you got a father who is a jealous God. No, y'all ain't hearing me. Listen, he's a jealous God. You mess with my babies, and guess what you get? Can you imagine when the devil comes after you? You got a father who begins to bow up and go, you're messing with my son again? You want another piece of what I got? I done sent my son to beat you once. And then you got a husband. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. It's one thing to have a good daddy, but when you got a good husband and you begin to mess with that bride, you know what happens? See, what happens is after a while when you resist, the enemy begins to look around and realize, wait a minute. Here comes the Son of the living God. I think it's just time I need to step up out of here. Can I just remind you, there's times in your life where you've been hit so hard and all of a sudden it stopped. Anybody ever been there? The enemy just onslaughting you. Bam, 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 bam. And then all of a sudden when you cried out, it went. No, see, some of y'all just got a revelation of that. What was that, Pastor? It's called, whenever the authority comes. See, when you realize you're an overcomer and your name is in the place that God called you to be, and you rest in it, you submit to it, you realize you get to crawl up in His lap. You get to experience what He experiences. Because you know, the truth is today, one of the greatest attacks on the church and on men and women of God is the enemy wants to steal your character. He wants to take from you what you fought your whole life to build. And you have to be diligent. Amen? Son, you good? You can take your seat back. You might want to hold on to it and walk with it. Look at him. He don't want the devil to come steal his seat. Isn't that funny? About the time you start moving forward in God, the enemy wants to come and take your seat. How many of you have ever stepped out for God to do something for him and it just seemed like everything went haywire and nuts and tried to stick? Can I keep moving? I don't have a lot of time. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Can y'all handle just a couple more minutes? Are you sure? Y'all want to go deeper? There hath no temptation taken you but as is common to man. For God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, can I change something here? Because when you look up the word temptation, it literally means to be tested or to be an experiment. How many of y'all feel like the devil keeps coming at you in different ways? He's just experimenting. No, y'all ain't going to help me. What are you doing in an experiment? Well, this is a disease, and what they do is they take a disease and they keep putting different things against it to try to find out what the cure is. Come on. See, the enemy reverses that. The enemy goes, I see the health there, so let me just put a little lust in there. Let me put a little anger in there. Let me put a little bit of a... Never mind, you don't want me to go there. And he comes by and he experiments and he puts a little dropper in you and he keeps coming by and experimenting. See, what you got to realize is that you are not a test tube. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So what you got to realize is that when it comes, God gives you a way of escape. Instead of the enemy pouring into you, God just puts his hand over you. Is everybody okay? What you got to understand is you're an overcomer. And the things that are coming after you, they're trying to infect you. But the Lord will always make a way out. Why? Because greater is he that is in. No, y'all going to miss it. Y'all going to miss this. Watch this. When I submit to God, it causes the enemy to run. When temptation comes, I realize all he's trying to do is steal my identity. He's trying to steal my seat. He's trying to experiment any way he can. Why did he hit Jesus in different ways? Why did he tempt Jesus? He was experimenting. He didn't know how to get Jesus. No, y'all, listen. How many of y'all want to keep him guessing? How many of y'all want to keep the enemy guessing? Come on. When he comes by to drop something off and you begin to see that anger, you begin to go back to Proverbs when it actually talks about a kind word turns away wrath. Oh, no, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Watch this. What it says about a hot-headed. You begin to take the word, and when you do, the very thing that he tried to drop in you, you counteract. By the time he tries to drop some lust off, you find the Lord going, it's better to pluck your eye out. Keep your eyes where they need to be. Uh-oh. I ain't gonna say that. Y'all don't like me, do you? No, in your life, everything that comes your way is an experiment. It's only when you allow it to stay in there does it produce. How do I learn to be an overcomer? I don't allow him to experiment on me. I don't allow him to drop stuff off. Come on now, listen. If somebody dropped off a bill at your house and didn't have your name on it, what would you do? You put that rascal right back in the mailbox and lift the handle and say, my name ain't on that bill. I ain't paying that bill. Watch my head. Return to sender. I'm not paying your bill. See, but yet when the enemy comes along and plants those things, you stand there with an open hand and try to receive it. Instead of realizing the address is not you and your name is not on the bill. Your name is written on your chair. It's not in what he's trying to deliver to you. Guys, can you hear me right now? Listen, the Lord will always provide a way of escape. He gives you the mailbox to send it back to. He says, you know what? Listen, if you come to me, even if you miss it and confess, then I am faithful and just to forgive you. We'll take it and put it right back in the mailbox and send it back off again. If you never asked him into your heart, he said, look, all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess out of your mouth, and I've just set you free. And now you can take all of that junk and all of that brokenness and all of that bondage, and you can put it right back in the mailbox and lift the handle and say, return to sender, right back to hell where you came from, because I'm not taking it anymore. I realize that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name is written on a chair, RSVP, in high places. I don't know about anybody else. I can't wait. I want to spend as much time on this earth as I can because I got a lot of work to do. But my goodness, what it'll be like one day when I walk down streets of gold and I'm going, where's the table? Where's the table? And when the angel ushers me in, he's going to go, by the way, you see those names on those chairs? Yours is right over there. Where am I at? You're right next to the King of Kings. He said that if you're an overcomer, then you get to sit with him. Come on, how many of y'all in here want to be an overcomer? No, listen, there's some things that you just got to put. There's just some things you just got to put under. No, listen, there's some things that physically we just got to put. No, y'all ain't going to help me. No, listen, I'm tired of people telling me they can't beat it. Listen, don't tell me you can't beat it, because you know what? You got one greater on the inside of you. Listen, all I got to do is just surrender enough, and I may have to go through withdrawals, and I may have to go through what I have to go through, but I realize that he's right in the middle of me when I go through it. So if I go through and just realize I can resist the devil and he's going to flee, and I can stay with my God in high places, then I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to go through the mess. No, y'all ain't going to help me. When doctors tell me you got to take these pills so that you can stay healthy, and I look at him and go, you know what? I appreciate you giving me the pills, but the truth is, if I can't trust the God who created me, then who can I trust? If I can't allow him to heal me, I ain't saying this is for everybody. I'm saying this is for me. You work out your own salvation. Everybody wants to go, well, I'm working out. I can still do what I want to do. You work out your own salvation. But the next part says with fear and trembling, because God comes fearfully, not fearfully after you. He comes in reverently to take his property. Some of y'all in here need to listen to me. God's coming. And he's coming to take his property. I don't know about anybody else. I want to make sure that this rascal is just as clean and smells good as he can get. I want to be pressed. I want to be right. I want to be clean. Anybody else in here just say that right now? I just want to be that. Listen, I'm tired of being a test tube. I'm tired of him pouring into what he wants to pour in when I got a way of escape. I'm an overcomer. Can I give you the last one? I'll let you go. Can you handle it? Are you sure? Go to Romans chapter 8. Y'all don't mind if I stay up here and preach for a minute, because y'all about to give me some looks. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or sword? We'll keep going. I'll come back. 36. Still with me? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Go to the next one. No. Everybody say no. In all these things we are more. I just ask you if you're an overcomer. You know what? Conquerors, they go in and they conquer, but overcomers have already overcame what they conquered. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, can we go back to verse 35? Because I got to show you something. How many of y'all ready to take down some things? Y'all ready to chop some trees down? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation. Can I explain to you tribulation? How many of y'all in here feel like you're being pressed until you can't be pressed anymore? Let me see your hand. Tell the truth in church. Look, listen. You are being pressed until you can't be pressed anymore. So I ask you, while you're being pressed, has your prayer life quit? Has your Bible time quit? Have you decided to quit? Have you wanted to quit?
Yeah.
I'm pressed but not crushed. Persecuted but not abandoned. See, watch this. Look, are you ready? How do I become an overcomer? I realize that tribulation, being pressed, that I have to understand that I got one who's greater. I'm back there again. There's someone who's greater on the inside, pushing out harder than I'm being pressed in. My God. So am I going to let the press cause me to quit? No, you ready? Here's the difference between winners and losers. Winners, no matter what, whether they take the prize home or not, do their best. Y'all didn't catch that. I don't have to be in first place every time. I just got to do my best. Quitters always lose. Are you ready, church? If you call yourself a Christian and you fall, does that make you a loser? Not unless you quit. When you turn your back and you quit, then you need to come back and repent. Watch this. Distress. Can I break down distress? Anybody here deal with being claustrophobic? You don't like small, confined places. Anybody here ever felt like you've been boxed in by the devil? Oh, come on now, be truthful. Come on, be truthful. You standing in the middle and there's a bunch of wolves all around you. And you're just going, oh, if I move, they want to bark. If I twist, they want to bite. And how many of y'all feel like right now you're just right in the middle and you feel all the wolves around you at all times? And you're beginning to feel like, my God, if I do anything right now, it's going to eat me. Will that cause you to quit? You know what happens when I get like that? I get mad. No, y'all ain't going to help me. I get a righteous anger that rises up in me, because when the enemy comes at me and comes at me and comes at me, I call on the name of the Lord and I go, Lord, you know what? I got wolves all around me, but you took down giants. You took and ripped a lion in half with one man of God. You took his mouth, and while it was sitting there breathing in his face, he literally took his hand, Samson, and ripped the lion in two. If God can do it with them, then those lions and those wolves and those things that are around me trying to eat me right now, then God, you will give them to me. Because he loves me that much. Now, look, you ready? Watch persecution. How many of y'all been slandered? Your character been attacked. Guys, can I just go ahead and say right now, this church, this ministry, and the summer camp and after school, I'm in a place where I have never been attacked like this in my life. Nothing but slander, nothing but trash, nothing but junk over and over again by people in places of authority. And when they did that, I went, my God, where is this coming from? And he said, will this cause you to quit? The enemy comes by and goes, well, let me give Pastor a little bit of this and let's see if this puts him over the edge. Instead, you know what it does? I need to speak to you for a minute. Let's get something straight. Instead of running from it, it causes me to rise. No, y'all, yeah, listen. Listen, quit running and face it. Is everybody hearing your pastor? Quit running from the things that have ate you over and over again and turn around and face it. Do you understand that you can take a lion and when it's in a full charge, if you stand your ground or a bear and you begin to stand there, that it will stop because it knows that, again, the very thing that God gave authority over to was man, and he knows if you stand and not run. You got guys up in Alaska, they say whenever he goes to charge, you just be just as loud as it is. How many of y'all in here, when the enemy comes roaring like a lion, you take off and run? It's okay. Greater is he. I've got the Lion of Judah on the, I got the Lion of Judah on the inside of me. There's times when I ride down the road, my wife even looks at me funny sometimes. Because when the enemy attacks, I'll get loud. You want me to give you a piece of what it sounds like? I had enough of your garbage. Get your hands off my people. Get your hands off the finances. Get your hands out and out of every piece and every part. Because today I serve notice on you. I've got the Son of the Living God living on the inside of me. And I tell you today to loose your hold. Get yourself out. I send you out in the name of Jesus. Every tongue that rises against me is going to fall. I declare today that I am the head and not the tail. I tell you today that not only have you come against me, but you got to go seven ways right now. And I'll ride down the road at the top of my lungs and I'll say, today I defeat you. You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Pastor, you really ride down the road like that? Yeah, people think I'm mad. And you know what? I don't care. Maybe they need a deliverance too. Maybe what I just declared out of that car might have done something for them. What you worried about? I had somebody call me yesterday and said, could you imagine being Isaiah? For 3 years, he walked around Israel in his underwear and nothing else. Because God told him to. She said, you know what would happen if God told you to do that today? I said, yeah, they'd lock me up in an insane asylum. John the Baptist. Dude ate wild stuff. Wore the skin of the land. Probably didn't smell the greatest. Hello. What you worried about? Hello, church. Put that scripture back up there. Famine. Anybody in here right now rubbing two pennies together praying it turn into a nickel? Lord, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How's this going to happen? Famine. So when you're in the midst of famine, are you going to quit? Come on. Do you see every tactic the enemy is trying to use works today? Watch this. Nakedness. How about when somebody exposes all your filth? I just got caught doing something. Does it cause you to quit? Or does it cause you to rise up and change? Y'all got to hear me, church. Y'all got to hear me. Will that separate you from the love of God? No. Can I get to the next one? Sword. When something tries to run you through, whether it be sickness in your body, or somebody's daggers to kill you, or someone even tried to kill you, do you hold on to it? or do you release it? It got really quiet in here, didn't it? Will the sword cause you to turn your back on God? Well, God, if you love me, you wouldn't let it happen. I hear that so many times. You know what the other side of that coin is? Isn't it funny you're still here and you came through it? You might have the scars, but you're still here. And maybe what he wants to do is take what you've been through to help a whole lot of people that would never make it through. No, y'all are not hearing me right now. I can't be in a place of a pity party when people stab me in the back or talk about me or try to kill me or kill my ministry or kill the dream that God's given to me. I have to move on and realize that that's not my Christ. God loves me so much that he said that he would help me to be an overcomer. There's getting ready to be a new wave of the anointing getting ready to come through this place. I'm going to go ahead and declare this over this church. And this next new wave that God is talking about right now is he's getting ready to take a lot of the things you failed in and he's going to show you how to overcome. And when you learn to overcome, he's going to propel you into what God's actually designed for your life. Some of you in here, you're gonna start meeting people and you're going to be able to speak one word to them and you're going to watch yokes of bondage break off of them. We're getting ready to see a move of God of deliverance in this house that we've never seen before. And God's not going to do it just through the hands of the pastor. He's going to start doing it because you got free. And when you're able to tell them, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar how to get some bread. When I can just tell them, look, I was just like you. And you know what? I found a source that set me free. So if he set me free, then he can tell you, he can set you free. Come on, see, can we just get back to the basics and just let people know, hey, I was right where you were, but I was going along and I heard, how long are you going to persecute me? Why don't you just come and join me? How many of y'all in here today are beginning to realize to be healthy, you have to know you're an overcomer? Are these things going to separate you? Will these things cause you to quit? As a matter of fact, when they come, get your. My wife knows I love to dance. I start to get my dance on. It might take the breath out of me for a minute. But then I step back and go, that was new. And as fast as I say that was new, the Lord says, because you're not in the level you used to be. Now, why don't you give me a praise? Because that just let you know what used to have you, you beat. And he's just testing and experimenting, trying to find what'll work now. How many of y'all feel like he's experimenting on you? How many of y'all feel like you're being tested in areas you've never been tested in before? Yeah. You wake up one day and this leg hurts. Wake up next day and your neck hurts. Wake up the next day and your head hurts. And you keep casting out of joints and legs and backs and necks. And you're going, Lord, what is all this? The enemy's just trying to find something to get you to quit. See, I believe I got a church full of people that ain't no quitters. We're fighters. And the bell ain't rung yet. Amen? How many of you got something out of this word this morning? How many of you realize who you are? Come on, I dare you to poke somebody and say, you know who you are? You're an overcomer? I ask you to bow your heads for me real quick. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you will begin to awaken every person in here to realize who they really are. We don't just quote scriptures. We have to live the word. We realize that, Lord, greater is he that is in me. Greater. Greater. You can break bitterness. You can break hurt. You can mend the brokenhearted. You can bring joy. And Lord, you begin to tell us who we really are. Today, Father God, we surrender our lives to you. Is there anybody here right now who would just lift their hand, just say, Lord, I surrender every piece of my life. I just got to give you every part of me right now. Is there anybody here that just say, Lord, here I am. I want to sell out 100%. Lord, here I am. I'm not perfect. I never will be. But Lord, today I surrender my life to you. I need more of you. You lifted your hand up. I want you to pray this with me right now. And if you didn't, and you know in your heart you want to, just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I am an overcomer. I am the head and not the tail. I realize today my seat with my name is ready. I take it. I hold on to it. I resist the enemy. And thank you, Jesus, for everything. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.